Hello and good afternoon, this is comedian Tanola Alvarez, and thank you for joining me on this edition of the Making of a Mogul podcast, where the dream is free, but the hustle is sold separately. And we're continuing the celebration on 3 years, 3,000 listeners. And as we move towards the day that we have declared as the National Day of the Making of the Mogul on September 27th, which is the day that we launched this particular podcast. Listen, I have a lot on my plate today. So, I don't have a lot of commentary to offer today. I need to get back to the task that I was working on. So I apologize for posting this podcast so late today. I've been up working diligently since about 4 a.m. and didn't want to take a break in what I was doing. Once the momentum that was there to finish the task. So what I'll do is read, what's today? Today is the 23rd. I'm trying to think, where did we stop at yesterday? I think we stopped at day 18 yesterday, potentially. So I'll read up to the 23rd, and then if the Lord says so, and then I'll return on tomorrow. And so we're leading into, we've been reading 30 Days of Prophecy that was presented by Evangelist Joshua, an evangelist out of the Africa region. And I've explained several times, and I typically do on every podcast, how this particular podcast was formed. I don't have the time to do that today, but please take time to go back and listen to some of the other podcasts. If this is your first time tuning in, my name is Tanola Oliver, and this is the Making of the Mogul podcast, where the dream is free, the hustle is sold separately. We have been on the air three years, and we have built 3,000 listeners on this platform. And it is really, it's been an amazing journey. And so I was very strategic about what day I wanted to launch the podcast on, which was an unctioning from research that I was doing, particularly on Curtis 50 Cent Jackson. But the research that I started to do on Curtis 50 Cent Jackson was really a derivative or a building of many additional research studies that I had conducted throughout the years about leadership. And so I think what the primary motivation behind the next 7 days is, I've had this weight of pulling not just the church, but just pulling everyday people back into understanding that that there are some things that we don't really necessarily need to lean into, like astrology. And so I don't really want to get into it. So there is astrology is in different, there's layers to astrology, right? And so, me as an academic, an educator, and someone who has an appreciation for research and the work of forefathers that was planted in the earth prior to modern day technology and modern day knowledge. So I have a reverence and an honor for historical relevant data and knowledge, right? And so there's layers to astrology. I don't have time to unpack that today. The type of astrology that I'm talking about that I want the world to know that we have all of the necessary tools that we need within the Bible. It has all the predictions that we need in determining the filter by which you process and the lens by which you see the world determines how you evaluate and interpret those predictions, right? And so, how can I say this? And so I mentioned, I think it was earlier this week potentially, I mentioned about I said everything in history points back to the Bible existing as the oldest literary document that is present today, right, on this planet from centuries, like the oldest document. And so, because I am an academic, I always, and because I have respect for my academic peers, I always like to, whenever I feel that I have made a statement that is relevant, but there may be some some additional information that could potentially appear that my data is not right based on additional data that's available, researched data, archived data that has historical relevance, right? And so I always say that data, research, what you read, what you hear, how you perceive is always based upon cultural relevance and interpretation, right? And that's major when we're interpreting data. And that's why a lot of times when I hear African Americans spewing data, sometimes it pricks my awareness that they may be unaware that they're repeating or regurgitating data that was not necessarily from the perspective of the African American community. Now, am I saying that other people cannot research and read and understand about other demographics of people? Can we not have intersectionality research, right? As a human race? That's not what I'm saying, but my point I'm making and building upon a point is that as an African American woman, African American and Native American woman, my point of reference as it relates to the oldest historical document on this planet is the Bible. And that was located in Ethiopia. Now, if you encounter one of my most memorable professors in undergrad was an Asian man. He was not a Christian, and he did not believe in the historical data that supported the Bible. But what I respected about him versus the and I've attended both historically black colleges, and I've t attended what they refer to as predominantly white institutions. And so what and I'm not saying one is better than the other. I'm very neutral on it. Really is based on a decision of the student, right? However, what I respected about this particular Asian professor is that he did not believe what I believed. He knew I felt really strongly about my belief. And all he, the only thing he did for me was do his job as a professor, which was present the data. And he never argued with me or attempted to back me into a corner or have an aha moment with me to shame me for my beliefs or any of that. All he did was present the data. And I think some of my peers at the time, because they knew I was a minister, would always want me to know that, wanted to make sure that I knew that he did not believe in Jesus Christ. So I think they wanted me to debate with him. But because I've always had, and I've always been like this, this was established in me as a very, very young child, is that the speaker always has the floor, right? The person who is the facilitator deserves the audience to listen, not necessarily without. So if debate is to take place, then there's a time in a and within the classroom for that, right? But this was a lecture environment. So while he presented the material and left room for us to make any probing that we wanted to do, he did not push the issue either way, right? And I think some of the students in the class wanted me to push the issue, but because of the way he presented the information and because of the reverence that I have for educators and for people who have taken time to study their subject matter as an expert to present it, to present their expertise before the world, right? The Bible says, study and show thyself approved. And so for me, I didn't see it as an opportunity nor my responsibility to be combative with him about his beliefs. But what is my point is that my point is, when you talk to me as an African American woman and as African American and Native American woman, then it is my knee-jerk reaction based on me studying my heritage, right? That the oldest book on the planet is the Bible, and it was located in Ethiopia. To this day, nobody has been able to refute that for me, and nobody has attempted to refute that for me. However, if you talk to someone whose life and a historical relevance and lens and perspective, they see the world through dynasties, then, and I'm talking to people that understand history right now, that if they process the world and the historical relevance of time periods is based on dynasties, which it had definitely had a historical relevance, then they may have a different story to tell, right? They may have something else to offer, in contrary to what I'm saying. But my point is that for me, right, as an African American and Native American woman, nobody has ever been able to present any data to me that contradicts the fact that the Bible is the oldest piece of data that has been located on this earth, and it was in Ethiopia, right? That's as an African American and Native American woman. And so the majority of my studies as it relates to archived information, I've processed the world through the lens and perspective of a Christian. So that is the information that I was able to uncover, right? Again, if you talk to somebody who, an Asian who processes the world through dynasties, they may say something different. I've never had anybody present that information to me, but they may say something different. If you talk to somebody who processes the world through the Viking period, they may have something else to present. I've never encountered it, but they may have something else to present. And so, but my point is that it's always important for as a and I don't know why this morning I'm feeling led to say this, but to be able to be in an environment of people with information who have an intellectual independent school of thought, and everybody be able to walk away with a sense of wholeness, right? For me, that's what the academic journey is about, right? I can walk into a room with my beliefs, and walk out of that room with additional data, right? To either potentially refute what I believe or that reinforces what I believe, but I still walk out of that room whole, right? With still the confidence of who I was when I walked in that room, right? Feeling assured about my own intellectual ability to present an argument. And for me, and again, I don't even know why I'm saying this today, but to me, and maybe it's because of, this is the part of the work that my foundation does, is creating safe spaces. And for some reason, I feel moved to talk about that today. And for me, that is the present of academia, right? And I think that if that particular school of thought is ever if it ever becomes the fragility of being able to walk into an academic environment whole and leave whole, or even walk into an academic environment maybe with some indifference about what you believe, And I'm maybe I don't want to say an indifference about what you believe, but some not having fully developed your voice yet, right? And to walk out of their hole, right? The purpose of education is to make people whole, right? And wherever there has been a breach, you should be able to go to an institution and walk away from that institution, that academic institution, feeling whole. Not because everybody believes with you what you believe, or not because everybody has been taught what you taught, but because it's a safe space to exercise your school of thought and to articulate the lens and the perspective by which you see the world, and present it amongst your peers and walk away whole, right? And so, what for whatever reason, that's what's on my heart this morning. And I'm still having some difficulty breathing and talking at the same time. But I was able to say that without interruption of breath. And so that's my thoughts this morning as I open up this podcast. And I'm laughing because I said I don't have time. But as I was sitting here, I just was feeling the poking and the pulling and the prodding, to thank educators, right? Like we, educators are really the people who, they are the foundation of the world, right? They push the school of thought. They reinforce the school of thought. The ones that are really, really superior at what they do, they teach people how to think for themselves and how to develop their own school of thoughts without pushing one agenda above the other. And I don't think we offer enough room in society to thank educators who create safe spaces. And not only is it important for us to thank educators that create safe spaces, but in that same token, it is our responsibility as parents to cultivate learners that have the ability to express themselves without violence, right? Because words are violence. And when there is not the opportunity to express your school of thought without the presence of violence in the room, then it's a losing situation for everybody, right? And when I say losing, and I'm saying words are violence, I haven't even begun to broach education environments that have a threat of physical violence, right? Because I'm really referring more to higher education environments, and even probably those years leading up to higher education, where it's but it is our responsibility as parents to produce students. One moment. It is our responsibility as parents to produce students and learners that have the ability to enter into rooms and articulate themselves, knowing that the school of thought that they present is based on the lens and the perspective by which they process the world. And then there are people present in the room who process the world through a lens and a perspective of the culture in which they were cultivated in. And so I just wanted to say that. And I don't know where that was leading from, but I just felt the heaviness to place that out into the into this space, which is a safe space. And I just want to take the time today to say thank you to educators who have mastered the ability to create safe spaces for students and for their peers, so that learning environments are places where people walk in whole and people walk out whole, or people walk in with some indifference, but potentially walk away feeling some sense of wholeness of who they are. And so, as we talk about the 30 days of prophecy, we'll start with, I think it was day 20 that we were on. And day 20 reads as soon as your enemies hear of your miracle this month, they will have no option than to celebrate with you in the name of Jesus. Day 21, every power secretly and tactically attacking you shall be exposed today in Jesus' name. Day 22, your business and ministry shall wax strong and it shall prosper in the land of the living. Day 23, every spirit of poverty and hardship gluing your life shall disappear by fire in the name of Jesus. Day 23 says, every spirit of poverty and hardship gluing your life shall disappear by fire in the name of Jesus. And so that was day 20 through day 23. We'll be back in this space tomorrow and we'll pick up day 24. I tell you what, this prophecy heats up on day 24, baby. And so those are my thoughts for today. And I'm excited about the 30 days of prophecy for the month of September. And we've been talking about the relevance and the importance and the divinity of the month of September. And how, if you were born in the month of September, that the Lord does not play about you, particularly those who were born towards the end of the month during the Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur feasting holiday, which is within the Jewish faith. And I'm excited that we have been on, we have launched and been on the air for 3 years and 3,000 listeners. And we've officially declared September 27th as the National Day of the Making of the Mogul Day. And my name is comedian Tanola Oliver. I'm about to sign off. And until I see you again, you live in the overflow. One last shout out to educators. We are so grateful for you. We are so thankful for you. And I pray that you are in the presence of people who reinforce your value to the culture. And when I say the culture, what I'm talking about specifically today is the intellectual culture. I am excited about the month of September. I'm excited about the harvest season. I am excited about this is the Jewish New Year, but I'm excited about the calendar New Year and the season that the earth is experiencing. And until we see each other again, you live in the overflow, and I'll talk with you soon as tomorrow, right? All right. talk to you later. Peace.